Welcome to Healthy by Choice, a broadcast designed to bring powerful healing into your life today. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at CHIP, the Complete Health Improvement Program offered across the country and around the world. You can learn more at chiphealth.com. But now, get ready to enjoy some proven results and priceless benefits. I'm your Healthy by Choice host, Charles Mills. Some say that knowing your cholesterol numbers are the most important numbers you need to know. They're right up there next to your social security number. Do you know what they are? Today we talk with CHIP founder Dr. Hans Diehl about that all-important data waiting to be gathered from our all-important blood. Dr. Diehl, what exactly do we need to know today?
Well, we need to know that when it comes to the number one killer in our society, which is cardiovascular disease,
yes.
Right? It's strokes and particularly heart disease, coronary artery disease. The most important and the most dependable predictor of this arterial narrowing, this plaque buildup, the most important dependable predictor is the number that you have for your cholesterol.
Now, that's the total cholesterol number you're talking about?
Well, we're now opening up a box of complexity, don't we?
That's true.
It's not just one cholesterol, but you have now the total cholesterol to worry about. You have to think in terms of LDL cholesterol. It's sometimes called low density lipoprotein, so LDL. Mm-hmm. You can remember it as the little devils, yeah. LD, little devils. And then you have another one called the HDL. These are the high density lipoproteins, and it's easier to remember them as heavenly darlings, okay?
I have heavenly darlings in my blood. I like that idea. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. And they're sort of protective. Yeah. So you have now three different cholesterol components, right? You have the total cholesterol, you have the LDL cholesterol, the little devils, and you have the high HDL numbers, and these are the heavenly darlings. And what you want to get the total cholesterol down as much as you can. Mm-hmm. You want to get the LDL cholesterol down as much as you can. The HDL, we usually thought of bringing them up as high as possible because they're kind of protective. And then you have another one called triglycerides. Mm-hmm. They also play a role in understanding heart disease and how to promote it or reduce it. So this is a very complex issue, isn't it? So let's go through them step by step. As a matter of fact, I can give you a formula of what the total cholesterol number comes from.
Okay.
The total cholesterol is the sum, okay? So you add up now LDL plus HDL plus the triglycerides, but you have to divide the triglycerides by 5. So you take 1/5 of the number of the triglycerides plus HDL plus LDL, and it gives you the total cholesterol, okay?
Yeah.
So the total cholesterol is the sum of these three particles, okay?
Where do these numbers come from? I've talked to the Framingham guy that came up with these numbers, and he explained it, but explain it for those who are listening to this program maybe for the first time. Who came up with these numbers, and why are they meaningful to us?
Well, they did extensive studies in the 1960s and 70s. You know, after World War II, we found that heart disease rates had dramatically diminished. The rates had plummeted. They had dropped big time in the countries that were involved in World War II. And people said, that cannot be.
Really?
Well, in our country here, the cholesterol numbers and heart disease rates really increased. And we said, well, I mean, that doesn't make sense because we all thought stress must be one of the big factors in heart disease. Yeah. And if that was the case, then the war-torn countries should have had large, high rates of heart disease.
Stress.
And we, who were not really affected by it here in America, we should have had a lowering, right?
Yeah.
It was just the opposite. And what they found is that when the Nazi armies invaded some of these European countries, they usually took all the livestock, you know, the meat and the sausages and the dairy. They took all of this away from the occupied population and fed it to their armies, while the people had to live on very, very simple foods. They had to live on foods that they grew in their own gardens. They had to live on vegetables and fruits and maybe some whole grains and some legumes, and that was it. They lived on very simple diets, and they improved the rates of diabetes and heart disease and even the cancer rates. rates. And then you come to America, and here we find that the heart disease rates are shooting up higher and higher and higher. And so the government said, we need to explore that.
Yes.
And so in 1949, they started this very famous, the best known of all heart disease studies called the Framingham Study. Mm-hmm. It's a small town near Boston. And they followed these people there for now three, four generations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a study that is absorbing these people, and they measure everything they can measure, and they say, okay, and what is the death rate from heart disease? What is the hospital admission rate for heart disease? And they have now some very, very powerful correlations, and they knew, they begin to understand, that if you have a certain cholesterol number, then your risk for being in the hospital or being dead is so much 5, 6, 7, 8 times more so than when you compare it to a lower cholesterol number. That's where we got the numbers from. And then gradually we became more sophisticated, and we recognized that it wasn't only the total cholesterol that was the big indicator, the predictor for this disease, but we could refine it more so now by talking about LDL cholesterol particles and HDL cholesterol particles, and then we discovered that there was another one called triglycerides. So that's how this came about, and so ever since that time, we're trying to do everything we can to bring those total cholesterol numbers down, ideally to probably the number of 150, 160 or less, and to bring the LDL cholesterol numbers down to ideally less than 100, and to perhaps keep the HDL numbers up over 40, 50, 60 because they're somewhat protective, and to keep the triglyceride numbers down below 150. So this is a lot of numbers. Let me just give them to you one more time. What we have learned over the last 50 years is that by lowering the total cholesterol to less than 160, you almost make yourself heart disease proof.
All right. And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do for sure.
That's what I do. Yeah. We also have learned that you have a similar good result if you can keep the LDL cholesterol below 100. That usually runs in our society 160 to even up to 200. Yeah. And to also keep those HDL, the good cholesterol numbers, the heavenly darlings, up at 50, 60, 70, thereabouts, that comes with exercise particularly. And also to keep the triglycerides down at a level of 150 or less. And that has to do largely with the amount of fat and sugar in the diet and obesity and diabetes. So coming back to this whole thing, we've identified that cholesterol is the most dependable predictor of arterial narrowing and obstructions that is directly related to heart disease. And now we have to begin to say, well, wait a minute, how do we then get these numbers down, right?
Yeah, but before we go any further, let me just make this clear. The total cholesterol, the cholesterol is a number that says your blood contains this amount of plaque-building material. Shall we put it that way as opposed to saying that the cholesterol is the problem?
Yeah, that's correct.
The cholesterol is an indicator of the... Okay, it's an indicator of the problem. All right.
It's a marker.
A marker, yes.
It tells us what's happening because there's a direct correlation between the amount of cholesterol that you have in your blood, the number that you get from the laboratory, and the amount of narrowing of the arteries and the number of deaths from heart disease.
Because you don't die from cholesterol, you die from narrowing of
no.
the arteries. Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's right. As a matter of fact, the body is making its own cholesterol.
Yes, yes.
Not a lot, but it's making some because we need to have it for well-functioning, for insulation on the brain and so on. So we do need cholesterol, but what we don't need is these high numbers that we find in Western societies and societies where commonly also find heart disease and strokes and narrowing of the arteries.
Does cholesterol have a function? I mean, if our body makes it, we must need it at some level. What does cholesterol do for you? Just basically cholesterol. What's it do for you?
Well, you know, if you're a man, you want to make sure you have some cholesterol in your system, right? Because it's the building block for testosterone, which is a sex hormone,
okay.
right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so it also is very, very important in terms of brain function, especially as children grow and develop their brain cells. Actually, there is a significantly higher cholesterol amount produced by the liver in order to provide enough cholesterol as an insulating factor for the brain that is developing in the babies.
Okay.
That's why, actually, breast milk is relatively high in cholesterol, especially during the first few months. Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting.
Yeah. And sometimes the dairy industry says, hey, you see, we have cholesterol in milk, and everybody is crucifying us for having saturated fat and having, of course, cholesterol in our milk. But look, breast milk is even higher. Well, it's because it's needed.
Yeah.
But then gradually, the amount of cholesterol in breast milk begins to diminish as if the body sends a message, hey, we're doing well. We have enough up here to function well and to shape these brains of these babies. We don't need as much anymore. And so it's a very interesting observation, isn't it?
So it is a self-leveling amount in breast milk. The baby gets just what it needs. So if we continue on pumping cholesterol into our bodies after we are weaned, you're saying that's where the problem comes, especially when we switch species.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The cholesterol in the bloodstream is a direct function of the amount of saturated fat, which is mostly found in animal products. This is hardened fats that you find in your steaks, that you find in your chicken, and so on and so forth. You find in your cheese, you know, in your milk, and so on. So this is the amount of saturated fat that drives it. And number two, you have what we call trans fats. These are hardened oils that don't turn rancid and that have been preferred by the food processing companies to be used in our foods, in processed foods, in the candy bars, and so on and so forth. And now, since we understand this better, there's a big push to reduce the trans fats to less than 2 grams. I mean, that's just a tiny amount. Because even a small amount stimulates the liver, just like saturated fat does. Saturated fat and trans fats stimulate the liver to produce the cholesterol within the body. So this is then driving the amount of cholesterol that you find in your blood. That's sometimes called the blood cholesterol. But there's another factor, and that is that drives the cholesterol. That's the amount of cholesterol that we eat. And the cholesterol that we eat is only found in animal products. You cannot find it in plant foods, but you can find it in egg yolks, big time. You can find it in steaks. You can find it in chicken. The amount of cholesterol in chicken is exactly the same as you find in red meat. You know, the idea that white meat is somehow a huge improvement, it's marketed very, very, very well. But it's probably not in reality standing up.
So if a person comes back from the doctor with a little piece of paper that says that their cholesterol is 250, 275, 300, they should know right away that it would be in their best interest not to eat an animal product because their cholesterol is already too high. How about if someone says, okay, the doctor says that my blood cholesterol was 250, 300. He gave me a statin and it's brought it down now to 160, 150. So now I can eat this meat because my cholesterol is under control with the statin. Good idea, bad idea. What's your take on that?
You know, Charles, you and I, we're children of our times.
Yes, yes.
You know, we are actually, you are used some numbers there, 250 to 300 for the total cholesterol, that we used to consider to be at the upper high end in the 1970s. That's when I went to school. That's when I was taught, you know, keep the cholesterol below 300 and then you're fine. Then you're normal in America.
Man.
Well, we began to realize that normal was actually meaning every second person was dying from a heart attack. So we didn't want to be normal for cholesterol. And so gradually now the numbers have come down and now we usually in medicine like to see the total cholesterol number to be less than 200. So if a physician sees that you have a cholesterol of 210 or 220 or 199, they'll probably say, well, you know, the American Heart Association is telling us we need to drop this cholesterol to less than 200. Maybe 160 would be a much, much better number. So here is your prescription for your statin drug. You're on your way now. Push that cholesterol down, and then you'll be protected.
And are they? Are they protected?
Well, that's a good question that maybe we should discuss after the
Let's
break.
Let's do that. You have opened the door here, Dr. Deal. I want to know, are we protected when we take those statins, get those numbers down? Is a statin-lowered number a safe number? Are we good to go? We'll learn more about that with Dr. Hans Deal, founder of the Complete Health Improvement Program, on our return, so stay right where you are.
I'd like to take a moment to invite you to the CHIP website, chiphealth.com. It's a confusing world out there. Lots of information comes at you from so many different directions. We advocate gaining and maintaining optimum health through lifestyle changes. Changes in what you eat, how you exercise, even how you think and reason. Does it work? Over 50,000 graduates say yes. CHIP is a program that works because it's based on the science of health. Science that's proven and amazingly effective. Stop by chiphealth.com to learn more. Changes come when you make health a habit. That's chiphealth.com.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with CHIP founder, Dr. Hans Diehl. We're talking about cholesterol today. We all have it. We all make it. And unfortunately, too many of us have too much of it in our bodies. And there are some numbers that Dr. Diehl has been sharing with us. And Dr. Diehl, the American Heart Association has said, you know, we really need to lower the numbers here. We need to get them down here. So let's make sure that everybody has access to a nice statin drug. That'll take care of the problem because we need to... There's even talk about... I cannot believe I heard this. Some people said, let's put statins in our water supply so that everybody will be protected from heart disease. Is this viable? Is what the American Heart Association is saying making sense to you?
Oh, I think it makes real good sense to the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Yes, there
yeah,
we go.
Yeah. I mean, just think about this. We are now filling 250 million prescriptions for these and other cholesterol-lowering drugs. I mean, this last year, over 250 million.
Wow.
And with these new guidelines that the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology has promoted, we should really more aggressively lower cholesterol numbers, and they have widened the group of people that are deserving or in need of these yes. drugs, right? So it is estimated that the current number of cholesterol-lowering drug users, which is about 36 million, will actually probably go to 70 million in the next 2 or 3 years. Mm. So, you know, the pharma industry, I mean, I said that somewhat, jokingly, that's their heyday.
Yes.
They're going to be doubling the most successful drug invented in the last 10, 20 years, and the money is rolling in.
Mm. Now, Dr. Diehl, we want to make it very clear right from the start here that if you are taking statin drugs, listener, don't stop taking statin drugs. Just don't stop. Go to your doctor and talk about stopping taking statin drugs. We want to make sure you understand that. We don't want anybody dropping drugs simply because we're pointing out that it may not be as helpful as they say it is. Work with your doctor on this thing. So, okay, Dr. Diehl, what do we do? If a person is taking these statin drugs and they want to get off the statin drugs because we really don't know what long-term statin drug taking is going to do to us. We haven't been doing it that long. The results are beginning to roll in, and it does not look good, but we don't know. If a person wants to get off statin drugs, what do we do?
Well, why should we get off these statin drugs? Well, there are some reasons for it. Number one, you know, last year we spent $25 billion yes. on these medications.
Yes.
And these medications can reduce the cholesterol, especially the LDL, the little devils, these subparticles of the total cholesterol that are creating this atherosclerotic plaque, this narrowing of the arteries. $25 billion have been spent on drugs that bring these LDL cholesterol numbers down by 20, 30, sometimes even 40%, depending on the dose, right? So that seems to be a good idea. However, you know, we always have to worry about side effects, don't we? It's not just the money that we spend on these things, but it's also the side effects that they create. And so when it comes to statin drugs, they're relatively safe, but you can have significant muscle aches, which then means that the physician has to stop the medication immediately. It can lead to fatigue. There's also now concerns that these statin drugs raise the blood sugar levels and may contribute to the development of diabetes. It also has been shown that they can increase the risk of a stroke in the brain. So, you know, there are some concerns that we have, but by and large, they're relatively safe. But what concerns me is that the biggest studies that have been done on the value of these cholesterol-lowering drugs in preventing heart disease have shown that there's very little benefit in terms of clinical outcomes. That is to say, if you have never had a heart attack and you take these drugs, you take them for 15, 20 years, are you going to be able to postpone that heart disease? And the answer is probably not. Mm. The summary statement that I can make is these drugs have been shown not to be effective in reducing the likelihood of developing a heart attack. If there's any benefit, it's very, very low. Yes, there are economic benefits to those who provide these drugs, right, but in terms of the people that take these drugs, it's not the answer. Now, let me hasten to add here, however, that when you have had a heart attack, you have established heart disease, these drugs are really helping you. They lower the cholesterol again, but this time it translates into better outcomes. Mm-hmm. You can actually reduce total mortality. You can reduce likelihood from heart disease. So these drugs are perhaps more useful in being used by people that had a heart attack, that survived it, that have established heart disease, that have angina pain. And in these cases, yes, I think we need to take a look at that and see them as very valuable. Of course, some people then have gone so far and said, well, I mean, I know I could change my diet and that would bring the cholesterol down too, right? I mean, I can reduce it by 15, 20, 30% in 3-4 weeks. I mean, the data is there. It's doable. It's not a big secret. But, you know, I'd rather take the drug and then I can eat whatever I want to eat. You know, pass
yes,
a steak.
The American way.
You know,
yes,
pass
yes.
the pass an omelet.
Yes.
You know, I take a magic pill and that will take care of it. Be careful. There are better ways to deal with that. We already pointed out to you that, number one, it's a number game in terms of money. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned to you that unless you have established heart disease, these drugs, they may lower the cholesterol, but it may not translate into improving your health.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But when you take a dietary approach, I mean, it's hands down success. Dr. Esselstein took cardiac patients. They were the walking dead. Many of them were given 6 months to live. He put them on a very simple diet of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and legumes. And within weeks, actually 2 to 3 weeks, these cholesterol levels dropped big time. And within months, the angina pain which they had diminished and oftentimes was totally eliminated. And, you know, 74% of these patients that he enrolled some 25 years ago are still alive. And remember, they were given 6 months to live.
Yeah.
So we can, and they showed very, very convincingly and compellingly on special arterial x-rays how the arteries that were perhaps 70-80% narrowed now had opened up again and they were maybe only 30-40% narrowed. So we can show that the arteries begin to open up again, providing for more optimal blood flow to the heart muscle and to all the organs in the body, because this is not only affecting the coronary arteries, but it's affecting all the major arteries in your body. Mm-hmm. So you're not only helping yourself with your heart, but you're also helping yourself with your, what is called ED.
Yes.
You know, when you have potency problems.
Yes.
You know, you have ED. That sometimes also stands for early death.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Because it becomes an indicator of what's happening in the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to a dietary approach, you're affecting not just the coronary arteries, you're affecting all the arteries in the body. And moreover, you're also beginning to lose weight. You're beginning to do something for your diabetes. Many times people no longer have to be on medication as they make the changes to help their hearts, and it helps in the diabetes too, and the blood pressure can come down. So this is a better way to do it. It's a more universal healing aspect here. It's a healer that is affecting not only the coronary arteries, but all the systems in the body.
That's a very important point, and I'm so glad you talked about that, Dr. Deal. I just have to say to our listener, imagine your body inside. Imagine everywhere the blood goes. Think about that. Where does your blood go in your body? Everywhere, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Anything from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet can be affected by high cholesterol, by hardening of the arteries. And that includes your brain, your ability to think, your eyes, your ability to see, your ears, your ability to hear, your ability to taste, your ability to walk, to move, to wiggle your toes. Anywhere your blood goes, high cholesterol and atherosclerosis is going to affect that. So when you are taking care of your heart, with what Dr. Deal said here, you are taking care, like you said, of every corner of your body. And that's just amazing, Dr. Deal. One change in the life can do all that. If that was a medicine, we could be billionaires, is all I can say.
Yeah, it's true. You know, you treat all, yeah. Because the blood is everywhere. You have 60,000 miles.
Yes.
In
yes.
one body.
Yeah.
Of course, many of these are, you know, very, very small, like the thickness of your hair. But it's the major arteries in the body that become affected by this cholesterol.
Yes.
And you can lower the cholesterol naturally with a diet to a level of 160, 150, 140. When I went to China, they had there in the province, the farmers, they had cholesterol numbers of 80 to 140. I mean, you cannot even find this in America. In America, we have 200 to 300.
Oh, easily,
see?
Easily, yes.
And so that's why we're beginning to understand from international data. And by the way, these farmers in China, they didn't have heart disease. You couldn't find the thing there. Mm-hmm. This is an American disease that is now spreading and is going worldwide. So by bringing these cholesterol numbers down to more ideal numbers like the Chinese used to have, mm-hmm. like in the neighborhood of 100 or, you know, let's say up to 150 as a top, 160 as a top number for total cholesterol, you can actually significantly decrease the risk of developing narrowing of the arteries. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want. But the question then is, do we want to do it with medication
mm-hmm.
or do we want to do it with dietary lifestyle approach? And my suggestion, of course, is move towards a dietary approach, you're not only affecting all the arteries in your system very effectively and in a proven manner, but you also affect your obesity, you affect your diabetes, you affect your blood pressure, you affect your arthritis, you affect how you think and so on and so forth. So, the answer I would recommend is, yes, sometimes you need to have some medication, especially after you had a heart attack, but it's a better approach probably to first make the dietary and lifestyle approach your number one line of defense.
Mm.
And then work with your doctor. If indeed something else is needed, you can always do that then. But number one, begin to make a commitment towards a healthier lifestyle, attack the causes, and you'll be glad you did, because heart disease is a matter of choice, not a matter of chance.
Mm, my powerful, powerful message. And I want to put myself here as an example of what Dr. Deal says. I have never taken a statin drug in my life, and I am a whole food plant exclusive person, and my cholesterol is 142. So I almost qualify for Chinese. I'm almost can go to
wow.
China and fit right in there. Wow, so close. Dr. Deal, thank you so much for sharing today. Now we know more about this cholesterol thing. We know what to do, and you've outlined a course of action for us, and it's a healing course of action, and we thank you, Dr. Deal. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And listener, we have a website for more information on this and other topics, and also to find out if a CHIP program is coming into your area. That is www.chiphealth.com, chiphealth.com. Lots of resources there, and again, information, if there's a CHIP program coming to your area, I want you to run, and if you have high cholesterol, don't run too fast. I want you to get over there, and I want you to sign up for this thing and get involved, and you can bring those numbers down too. That's chiphealth.com. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with CHIP founder Dr. Hans Deal, inviting you to be healthy by choice. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about Healthy by Choice, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651. You can also email us through our website at 3abn.org.